Welcome to Keys to the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. This thing called the Kingdom of God, what is it all about? What does it look like? What's this thing called the church? What is that supposed to look like? Who is the church? Who's not the church? Today in history, many years ago, a fellow by the name of Clement, who was called the Pope, excommunicated Henry VIII from the church, because Henry VIII was saying that he was the head of the church, and he was kind of trying to run the show himself. Well, I find that all kind of interesting anecdotes to history, because I always thought Christ was the head of the church. And who would be in authority in the church? Who would be able to exercise authority in the church other than Christ? Well, we know Jesus appointed certain men to be his church, his ecclesia, his called out group. That's what we see the word church. It comes from the Old English church, which actually had to do with the temple. Could actually even at one point be referred to, the term to be used to refer to a pagan temple. But it was a word that they could use, and some translators wanted to use church, others just wanted to use assembly. They're trying to find a word in the English language that closely would identify the meaning of the word ecclesia that we see in the Greek text. Of course, in the Old Testament, we know there was a church in the wilderness, because the New Testament says so, but of course, in the Old Testament was not written in Greek, so they didn't have the word ecclesia. But somewhere or other, there was a ecclesia in the wilderness. Well, we explain on the website that the word ecclesia is one of many different words in the Greek language that all can be translated into the word assembly. It has a particular unique meaning because it is talking about a particular kind of assembly. And you know that by the words in the Greek language they used to create the word ekklesia. Words in Greek, unlike words in Hebrew, are often composed of other words that have particular meaning. Ekklesia is two words, one meaning from or out of, and the other one meaning to call. So the word ecclesia means the called out. And, you know, I pointed this out to a number of people who give me that deer in the headlight look when you mention it. I said the Israelites were not called out of Egypt. When they're talking about the church in the wilderness, they're not talking about the Israelites. The Israelites were kicked out. So who was called out? Who was called out in the wilderness? Well, what went on in the wilderness? You had all the Israelites who came out, along with a lot of other people who came out of Egypt after a series of famines, and they were freed from a persona jurisdiction held by the Pharaoh over these people. They had tried to rescind their membership in the government, where they had to pay an income tax every year. 20% of everything they earned had to go to the government of Egypt. And the rest they could keep for themselves and for seed and to feed their children, etc. But 20% had to go to the government of Egypt, and government of Egypt was responsible for taking care of the people during hard times, during famine. During any kind of difficulty, it was kind of a social welfare safety net for the people, run by the government, and because the people found themselves short of provisions, when there was a some global climate change that caused famine in the area. It probably was caused by too many cooking fires. You know, the smoke going up changed the carbon in the air, and then it caused global warming, and there was a drought. Of course, I'm being facetious, so don't anybody panic. But for some reason or other, there was climate change, which, of course, there is climate change on a regular basis throughout the history of the world. It gets colder for a while. It gets hotter for a while. It doesn't have anything to do with what people are doing on the planet. It has to do with events on the sun. The sun is where we get our warmth. The sun increases in intensity just slightly or decreases just slightly. It has a tremendous effect on the surface of this planet. When energy from the sun enters into the poles of this planet through the polar cusp by way of the magnetic field that surrounds the Earth, that absorbs the shock waves from the sun and solar winds and coronal mass ejections that come from the sun, that energy goes into the core of the planet and actually heats up the core of the planet with fields that are going on in the core of the planet all the time. And this actually causes volcanoes to go off. Now, the first volcanoes to go off are the undersea volcanoes, which we've already seen an increase of in the last few decades, and they have caused the oceans to actually boil in places. This is what's causing the changes in the El Niños and El Niñas, where you've got actually areas up near Alaska where the water is warmer than areas way down south. That's not caused by the sun shining in Alaska. That's caused by undersea volcanoes erupting in deep channels and cracks in the earth, and they're actually heating up the water just like you would if you put a larger pot of water on a hot plate. And as the core heats up, that changes the amount of warmth in different areas of the ocean, causing water to rise. That water pulls currents up, and fishes change their migration routes. Anybody who fishes up in Alaska, you know, professionally know that the fishes have been shifting around in their routes for years. Now, because there has been a steady change in the flow of energy in the core of the Earth, this is one of the signs that we should be looking for changes in our planet. Jesus even said at his, look for signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and the word stars there could actually just mean planets. Well, of course, he was talking about his time, and there was a huge shift in events at his time. I mean, there was the Star of Bethlehem. What was that? There was some sort of event going on up there with the planets that marked the arrival of Jesus Christ as king. There was aurora borealis caused by events on the sun and that energy entering in again at the polar cusp at the time of Christ. The solar auroras that were being created were so bright that you could actually read documents outside on moonless nights in Rome. The red glow in the sky to the north had at one point got so intense, I mean, before the even it got more intense later on, but when it first started becoming intense, Tiberius actually dispatched at least one legion. I can't remember if it was more than one, probably more than one legion to the north to put out the fires that they believed must be burning in Germany, because it's causing this huge glow that was seen over the Alps. They thought the entire North Woods must be on fire to create that much light in the upper atmosphere. Oh, you mean they didn't think the world was flat? No, they didn't think the world was flat. That's what they used to tell young seamen, just to scare them a little bit, you know, kind of an initiation. Everybody knew the world was round. And anybody who went to sea knew the world was round. You could see it was round as you sailed across it. had been around for a long time. We had this schoolboy look at history where we don't know. I mean, they had calculated the circumference of the earth way back in ancient Egypt. And the Greeks had done it. And, I mean, Irishmen were doing it in 400 A.D. What's the big deal? They knew how the world was round. They knew there were planets out there. It was only the most ignorant of people that were so superstitious as to believe that the world was flat and the water was falling off the edge and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, that's another whole story. The point is that there were huge events going on back then, with auroras, earthquakes that actually rumbled across the whole face of the earth, deep subterranean earthquakes as currents of magma were moving around in the magma area of the core. This all took place at the time of Christ. It's going to take place again. And maybe fairly soon. I mean, there were just announcements from NASA that talking about huge events on the sun that they have never, ever, ever witnessed before. Of course, that NASA hasn't been around all that long. But people have been watching the sun for a long time. I mean, there are records of solar sunspots going back thousands of years because you can see them fairly easy with, a pinhole light to a piece of paper shining on another flat piece of white surface. You can actually see the solar sunspots traveling across the sun, and men have been counting them since ancient China. The events on the sun is what causes climate change. Well, anyway, back to the fact that it was climate change around Egypt, and where the Israelites, the early, 12 brothers lived, and this caused a tremendous famine because of that climate change, and they didn't have provisions for themselves. Now, they could be putting up provisions during the 7 good years that they had before, and they would have had they asked their brother, but their brother wasn't around. Their brother was off in Egypt. Well, why was he in Egypt? Because they had thrown him into bondage. So the fact is that everybody in America, everybody in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and most countries throughout the world have brought their brothers into bondage for their personal welfare. They have joined membership in social schemes that are run by benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. In other words, force the people to contribute to the welfare of the people. That's Egypt. The government could force you to pay 20% of everything you earn so that they would guarantee the welfare of the people. Now, the reason why that came about is because people were not living by faith, hope, and charity. Certainly those brothers didn't live by faith, hope, and charity. They didn't forgive their brother whatever offense they thought that he had made. He was willing to forgive them, but they were not willing to forgive him, and they were going to sell him into slavery. And so they themselves went into slavery. So if you're a slave today, if you have to pay 20% of everything you earn to some autocratic ruler somewhere, I think in Australia you can get up to over 56%. But all those terms are deceptive, because even though you may only have 30% income tax in the United States, you have state income tax, you have gasoline tax, you have property tax, you have sales tax, you have tax upon tax upon tax, so you're actually paying way more than 20%. It's interesting to note that if you were to go to Egypt and look at the tax laws there, for both individuals and corporations, the tax liability for income tax is still 20% in Egypt. Still 20% in Egypt. Even though in the United States and in many other countries, it exceeds way over that. And that's because the whole world has gone into the bondage of Egypt, even though God said never return there again. I mean, Israel itself, the country they call Israel, which is really kind of a UN creation, has nothing to do with Israel in the Bible. Do not get that mixed up with that. It's that's complete delusion. It's just a bunch of guys over there who think they're Jewish and think they're following Moses. They don't have just weights and measures. They have clad, they don't even have clad coin. They have iron coin. They have the equivalent of Federal Reserve notes, which are debt notes. They're also usurious notes. Everybody has to pay income tax. Income tax is a use tax, therefore income tax is usury. They have to pay property tax. Property tax is also a use tax, that, so therefore that's usury. So in Israel, all these people who think that, you know, they got their locks, or, you know, they read their Torah and they say their prayers at the Wailing Wall, they're all defying everything that Moses taught on a day-to-day basis. It's a matter of policy. They have brought all the people of that nation back into the bondage of Egypt again. And their prayers are going up to somewhere. I don't know where, but God's not hearing them because he said he wasn't. I will not hear you in that day. You know, I'm not picking on the poor guys, because the Christians over here are doing the same thing. And the truth is, the Muslims are doing the same thing. They all have their systems of Corban, their systems of sacrifice. Now, the Corban of the Pharisees made the Word of God to none effect. It was a violation of the commandments of God. What was it? It was a social security system where you had to pay in to a government temple. That's, the temple was a government building, and that took care of the needy of your society. That's an antichrist. That's a rejection of God. That is a violation of the precept upon precept that is taught to us by the prophet. God wants you to live by faith, hope, and charity. He wants you to be bound together as a peculiar people by faith, hope, and charity, by love. There's a revolutionary idea. That's what you need to do. If you want to be free, turn around from those systems that force your neighbor to pay into your welfare and start creating a system where you take care of one another by faith, hope, and charity. Where you don't have to pray to the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Christ said not to be that way, yet every single church in the United States, you know, especially the government churches, if there's a need in your community, in your society, in your congregation, they send you to benefactors who exercise authority. They're just going to take care of your spiritual salvation. But the early church was taking care of your physical salvation. A dearth in the land, a depression, a recession, whatever you want to call it. They gather up funds, they give it to Barnabas and Paul, and they take them over there to make sure that people get, that was their FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Association, or whatever that, no, their Faith Emergency Management Auxiliary. That's what the church was doing. Churches today don't do that. They say, go to the government. Well, why? Isn't Jesus Christ your king? Isn't Jesus Christ and his appointed ecclesia taking care of you by faith, hope, and charity? It isn't? Well, then it's not his ecclesia. It's not his church. It's sending you to benefactors who exercise authority if you have any real temporal needs. Because it says it only deals with the spiritual. It has separated the spiritual from the physical. Well, if your church has done that, your church has killed you. It has murdered you. It has murdered the body of Christ. Because that is what death is. To separate the spiritual from the physical is called death. Now think about that, folks. Your churches say, oh, we're only interested in your spiritual salvation. Early church was not just interested in your spiritual salvation. There was lots of welfare around in those days. There was free bread. There was circuses. There was all kinds of welfare benefits, both under Herod and certainly under the Roman Empire. Half of Rome was on the government dole. But none of the Christians were on the government dole. At least not on the government dole of Rome. It was on the government dole of Christ occasionally. when there was a true and real need, they went from house to house, rightly dividing the bread, working daily in the government building, the temple. But if you owed a tax, they went to you and said, how much you owe? Huh? You owe that much? Yeah, well, that would be the fair amount, but, you know, things have really been bad. I can't pay it. And, well, what can you pay? Well, I can pay half. Okay, pay in full. Why'd they do that way? Because Christ said to do it that way. That's what the parable's about. He's talking about government. He's preaching a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven does not throw you in jail because you cannot pay your obligation to the community. But, of course, if you gather together with a bunch of selfish son of a gun who never want to pay in anything, they just want to be free, then that particular congregation is probably going to find itself between hell and high water one of these days, because it's just a bunch of selfish guys. Now, the kingdom of heaven is only for those who have the character of Christ, who do things according to the character of Christ, which another way to say that is in the name of Christ. You don't do things in the name of Christ because you say Yeshua. You don't do things in the name of Christ because you use the word Messiah or Jesus or any of that. That doesn't make it in the name of Christ. What makes it in the name of Christ is you actually act according to the character of Christ. Your ministers, do they exercise authority? You know, Pope Clemens, he could excommunicate Henry from his church, but that was his church. That wasn't Christ's church. That wasn't the Father's church. Because you can't exercise authority and be that minister. And at that time, the popes had been exercising authority quite a bit. Actually, there had been about 80 popes in a row. Some counted as about 75 popes in a row. But, I mean, it's a matter of history. I mean, I was raised a Catholic. I know what the history is. You know, the average Catholic doesn't know what the history of the Roman Church is. But they systematically killed millions upon millions upon millions of people with torture. There are actually popes writing books on how to torture people, how to split them, how to peel the flesh off them, how to murder them. Devising chambers and racks and ways in which to absolutely break people physically. They were interested in their temporal welfare in a negative sort of way. Get them to repent, to believe in what? The supremacy of the Pope. They went through and murdered whole communities. They crowned kings and said, yeah, you can go and before they tried to go and kill all the Arabs in the Crusades, they had already traveled through most of Europe killing anybody who didn't accept the supremacy of the Pope. We have no concept, the average guy has no concept of what kind of way in which these people were living. Whole nations were said, oh, you're not Christian. They were excommunicated. They were excluded by this authoritarian religion. And new churches, modern churches, haven't really gotten rid of that authoritarian attitude. We'll talk more about that and what you can do to be free men under Christ in the second half of the show. After these words.
Sometimes our .com server goes down, so don't forget, we have a backup, FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you? Have you seen Loose Change, the most popular documentary in the 911 truth movement? With the coming change in government, now is the time to push for justice and get this truth into the hands of millions of Americans. First Amendment Radio is offering both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice on DVD. We will ship two copies of both videos to you for $10 cash. Yes, two copies, one for you and one for you to give away. You will see and hear Larry Silverstein admit that they decided to pull the building. Why are they not being pursued? The people must know. Justice must be had. The time is now. Two copies of both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice, for $10 cash. No checks, please. To First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We were talking about the nature of the kingdom, what it looks like. We talked about church, a church, ecclesia. The church in the wilderness was the called out in the wilderness, and the ones who were called out in the wilderness were the Levites. Well, actually, they called out anybody who had the faith to come out of the walled-in camp of the golden calf. Golden Calf was the central bank. Everybody put their wealth there. Now you had a stake to stay and defend your community. That's what they were afraid of, that people would just go off and do their own thing. Times were good, and they might not stick around and help other people. And you might find yourself dwindling away as a nation. Just you and a couple of families over here, you and a couple of families over there. You know, little congregations here and there, and when somebody gathered together like the Amalekites and the Amalekites, they could come in and invade, and you couldn't get the people together. You couldn't get the people to defend all the people. What would, you had no authoritarian benefactors, you had no one to force you into military service. You had to be willing to come to the defense of somebody you didn't even know. You've never even seen, because he's way over on the other side of the people. You know, you're dealing with thousands, maybe millions of people. Well, you don't know all those people. Well, so what keeps you together? Why would you go over and defend him? What's he to you? Well, Israel had to create a situation in which that is what you would do. you were Minutemen for each other, to defend, to protect, to help, to aid. There was a flood way over here. You wanted to help those guys out in that flood, even though you were way over there on the high ground and nothing happened to you. That was very important to maintain the society, that everybody contributes equally for the needs, real needs of anyone. Most societies do this by bringing you under the contractual authority of some sort of man who calls himself a benefactor, but simply forces everybody to contribute. And then he decides how the money is spent, and unfortunately they're usually corrupted by this tremendous power that they're given. And that's the choice of the two different kinds of government. One is moving away from the kingdom of heaven, which is a place where we're ruled by God, a status in which we are under God's authority, or moving under the authority of someone else who is going to play God. This is a battle that has continued from the very beginning, from Cain to today. Today you have men like Obama in the United States who is talking about being this benevolent leader, helping everybody else, making sure nobody's left behind. You know, it's a common theme we hear. But the reality is he's going to do it with your money. He's not going to do it with his money. Well, he's spending some $13,000 a night on his motel in Germany or wherever it was. You know, you get... him and his wife have a meal, and it was over $400 for one meal. I think it was over $150 worth of caviar. That's your money he's using. Oh, he thinks he deserves it because he's the president. Christ, when he was the king, he washed the feet of the apostles. Different world. Jesus' kingdom is not a part of his world. It doesn't think the way they think. It doesn't act the way they act. It doesn't do the things they do. Jesus came to set you free, to make choices for yourself. And this is what the church is always supposed to have been doing. Abraham left Ur. Moses left Egypt. Jesus had his Pentecost. They left the persona jurisdiction of these benefactors who would exercise authority, but that only worked for people who accept the responsibility of themselves, their family, and their community. It only worked for the people who have the character of Christ, who live according to that character. So how does that work? How does such a society work? Well, the called out became the Levites. It wasn't only the Levites who came out, but as a people, they were the largest majority, so all of a sudden, everybody who became a Levite, everybody who came out, became this Levite man who went in and out the gates by the authority of Moses, went in and out of gates to take care of the people in another way, to be another group, and they became the priests of the nation, because they were the first ones out. And if you go back in ancient times, they talk about the first son of a family was the high priest of that family. In other words, he was going to be in charge of taking care of the money and looking out for his younger brothers and younger sisters as they grew up. It was his job to oversee their care. He wanted to make sure they got educated, they got their work done, that they were taken care of. That was his job, to look after your brothers and sisters. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. You're the oldest son. Cain was to be the brother's keeper. He was the oldest son. Instead, he abused his younger brother. He was to be the priest of the family, but he abused his younger brother. Now, that's what, if you go back to the Old Testament, they talk about opening the matrix. The first son out is the high priest of the family. Who's the high priest of the nation? Now, when you had the Levites, you did not diminish the family at all. The family and the rights of a family were not decreased one tiny little bit because of the position of the Levites. Because you only tithe to the Levites according to their service. This guy wasn't doing a good job, don't give to him. That guy is not doing a good job, don't give to him. If this guy is doing a good job, God wants you to tithe a percentage of what you make to take care of his needs because he's doing a good job and a laborer is worthy of his hire. What's his job? His job is at least health, education, and welfare. He is there to make sure your families are healthy, well-educated, and capable of making a living. He is your efficiency expert. He is your agricultural extension agent. He is all your social welfare needs are met by the Levite, who is called out not to stand between you and God the Father. By any means, this is one of the goofiest notions I've seen coming out of modern religion. Oh, we don't need the Levites anymore because we don't need somebody to stand between us and God. Well, when was they ever supposed to do that? They weren't supposed to do that. They were the public servants. They were the clerks and clergy of the kingdom of God, which was Israel. They were to take, why? Because they're standing not between you and God the Father, but you and the gods of the world. Because if you had that social welfare system based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, you would not need to go to the king of Sodom and say, will you take care of us because there's a famine? You would not need to go to Pharaoh. You would not need to go to Caesar. You would not need to go to Nimrod, the mighty provider instead of the Lord. You would just go to church. You would go to the ministers and say, you know, we don't have enough food to eat. Do you have any extra? Well, actually we do. These guys over here did real well and they've donated this. Here you go. And we're going to give to you because we know you're a good, moral, upstanding, hardworking guy who just had a couple of bad deals happen to him. Tornado come through, storm, sickness, fell off a ladder, whatever. But you're really injured, you really need help. You know how many people I know are on disability and are faking it? Ridiculous. They're robbing everybody. How many people are on unemployment right now out there who don't need to be on unemployment? Who aren't even trying to get it? I know a guy, owned him for years. I know somebody who knows him. And so I do know him. He's an acquaintance. He's not a friend or anything. But he lost his job, went on unemployment. Well, he got a temporary job, and they said, if you get your CDL brought up, we'll give you a full-time job. We'll loan you a truck so you can take your test so that you can get some particular classification. He put it off. Then they said, why haven't you done that? You're not going to be able to get this other job. You know, well, you know, I got to come up with the money to pay for the license. Well, somebody else volunteered. I'll pay for it. I'll pay for the license. When you get the job, you can pay me back. He still put it off. Well, we're doing okay. Used up his 401k. He's using up his unemployment. The state's extending that. So he can. And now his wife lost her job, and so she's on unemployment. They're going to lose their home. Why isn't he getting to work? He isn't getting to work. He's just sitting at home watching TV. He's gained about 50 pounds since he went on unemployment. The temptation of that free money and sit at home was too great for his personal character. But by doing that, he is literally robbing everybody in the system who may actually need the unemployment. He is being slothful and should be under tribute, and he's probably going to lose his home, and I'm not going to have a lot of sympathy for him. But the system that men have created for themselves breeds this in the people and the families. The families are almost non-existent. Everybody, single parent family. Families don't stay together anymore. They don't need to. We got the government. We're married to the government. The government will take care of us. I don't need my family. You see? see what it's doing, and this is why Moses was livid when he saw them taking some of the first steps back to that Egyptian system of creating a central bank, creating a mandatory social welfare that you had to pay into, which was the Corban of the Pharisees, which Jesus said made the law to no effect. So they were called out to become the ministers of a nation operating on faith, hope, and charity, because the Bible is very clear, you tithe to them according to their service. No service, no tithe. Doesn't mean you shouldn't pay somebody tithe. You should pay somebody, but not that guy, because he's not doing a good job. Try that with the system you've got going now. Those men down at the Social Security Department, those men down at the welfare office, those men down at, most of them are women, but whoever they are, those are your priests and ministers. You do need priests and ministers. You got them. But you got ones that will kick in your door if you do not contribute. And it doesn't matter whether they do a good job or not, you still got to contribute. And you can't say, well, I can't quite afford the whole thing this month. Can I pay some more next month? No. You not only owe what you owed, they're going to fine you. That's the church you go to. A church you go to on the corner, that's just for singing and making you feel good about your bondage. They're going to teach you some Negro spirituals, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. They'll sing that at your funeral, because that's the only time they're going to set you free, is when you're dead. But you're supposed to be born again in Christ. You're supposed to be living in Christ. Well, then you got to turn around and live another way. You got to create that network of people that actually care as much about your rights, your life, the lives of your children, the lives of your wife and your family, as you care about them. If you don't care about them, then you probably won't be able to create that network, or at least a network worth its salt. You've lost your flavor. You need to come together. So, what are we doing about that? Well, we're starting to create a network of people, and it's keeping me up all hours of the night and up early in the morning. Dealing with people all over America, Canada, not so much activity in Canada. Everybody in Canada, if you go on our website, hisholychurch.info, go up there to where it says declare. Click on that button that says declare. I'm going to eventually put a guy up there with a net somewhere. The network's going to have its own drop-down menu. I'll do that in my spare time. And anyway, hit that guy up there that says declare. You'll see a drop-down menu. At the bottom it says network. Go to that. And you should already be on the Kingdom News list. Go to that, and you'll find how to find local congregations. And in the drop-down menu I'm going to create under the guy with a net, you'll be able to see all the different places you can go to. But anyway, then zip over there and join one of the local groups. If you're in Canada, I got one group, because the people are so spread out. But we need more people in Canada. We find some guys we found that are only a couple blocks from each other. They never knew it until they actually went through this process of creating joining one of the local groups. You need to do that. We got a pretty active group in Texas. We got a pretty large group in Colorado, and California now is increasing. Every day more people are signed on. Somebody signed on to California this morning. I think he's actually in Nevada, but right over there on the border. So we've actually included Nevada and California together when we get 10 or 15. And some of the people that are represented on there already know a group of people. If you form... What happens is you get into one of these groups, you pick someone to be not the administrator, but the minister of that group. And he will be featured on our map so that people can contact him to get onto that group. And then we're going to, if you form a congregation of record, we will also put you on the map with contact information. And what you need to do is start coming together with people that get this. I'm not interested in guys who just don't want to pay taxes anymore. Don't even sign up. If that's all you want, forget it. You're going to be shook out anyway, eventually. We're looking for people who care about each other's rights as much as they care about their own. And, you know, we're already shaking those guys. The guys who want to hold some lofty position, who want to get up on a pedestal somewhere and be looked up to, or, you know, not interested. Don't even bother. You're a waste of my time. What we're looking for is people who really care about the message of Christ, the character of Christ, the ways of Christ, the ways of Abraham, the ways of Moses. You know, go online, read the book Thy Kingdom Come. See what they were really doing. If you don't think you're a slave, go read the book The Covenants of the Gods. You're a slave. Okay, we got it. You're a slave. Okay, now how do you get free? Well, how did Moses free a nation? How did Abraham free many souls? How did Christ free men so that they could say, we have another king, one Jesus. We don't have to obey the decrees of Caesar. We've got our own government. Read Justin's Apology. He, in 150 AD, he's explaining how their government worked to the government of Rome, because they were persecuting Christians because they wouldn't get birth certificates. And it became mandatory. Actually, he was writing even before Marcus Aurelius. He's writing Marcus's teacher, who was emperor before, which was Antoninus Pius. But under Marcus Aurelius, obtaining a birth certificate within 30 days became a mandatory obligation of everybody born within the empire. Christians wouldn't do that, because that would be the reason you're getting that is so that you can apply to the benefactors who exercise authority for the benefits. You are making the government your patronus, your father. And Jesus said, call no man on earth father. That's what he's talking about. He wasn't talking about the Roman church at the time, because there was no Roman church. You know, they didn't have that. Their government was, the fathers were the senators, called patri. Now, I'll admit the Roman church is mixed up in all this crowning of men over other men thing. They have been. I mean, it's just a matter of historical record. But God will take care of that issue. What we have to do is turn around and start seeking the kingdom and the righteousness of God, which means we have to love our neighbor. That means we should become the social insurance for our congregation. And that congregation should be linked with all other congregations, so that all other congregations become an underwriter for that social insurance system. You can actually run such systems at a fraction. It probably costs you 5% of what you're now sending to other governments. And you can do a better job and more reliable job. You won't be carrying, you know, the people that are the dead weight, the people who aren't doing right and aren't living morally, who are lazy and constantly getting pregnant out of wedlock and want to raise their kids on the government dole. Well, we just stone them. That's all. You know, you don't hit them with rocks. The stones are your ministers. You notify your ministers. And when all your ministers know that this person is an absolute bum, a degenerate, an immoral user of their neighbor, they just won't contribute to them anymore. Oh, they might give them a little bread so they don't just starve completely to death, but they're not going to make their life comfortable. They shouldn't be comfortable in their sin. They have to repent. Just like if that guy didn't have that that unemployment check coming in, he'd have got to work. He'd be, you know, at least 40 pounds lighter than he is right now, which would be good for him. That work would be good for him. The system has seduced him into sloth. And this is what these systems do. They make the powerful more powerful and the people more weak. You have to realize that. And the system of God requires that you get strong. No pain, no gain. No sacrifice. No freedom. That's the way it works. So anyway, everybody needs to join the Kingdom News List. They need to get on a local group. Now, you local groups, all you guys out there, you need to write the group with their group email, usually a state or like Canada at whatever, but if you're not signed into the group, you're not gonna, it's not going to go in because it's blocked. Don't send pictures. Don't send attachments. Don't gibber on about this thing and that thing. Introduce yourself. You can say a little bit about your values, your goals, your desires, what you want to accomplish. It's not a place to get on a soapbox and talk about this, that, and the other thing. A little, we only got a few minutes here. Up in Northern Oregon, somebody went down the street where I know somebody lives, and they put in every mailbox a DVD or CD about the truth on 911. Trying to inform people of what they think the truth is on 911. And I haven't seen what they're saying, but I can imagine. But an interesting thing that someone was relating to me is that there was somebody over, adult, been to school, educated, all this stuff, and they started talking about it because it arrived when they were there, and the guy says, oh, well, the Twin Towers didn't go down. And they said, what do you mean they didn't go down? Well, they never fell down. They just got hit by planes. And they said, wait a minute. This is just a couple days ago. No, the Twin Towers collapsed to the ground that day. No, they never fell down. They just got, there was only the Pentagon. And we thought, this is what's the matter with America. You know, you're trying to teach them, you know, the intricate details of the reporting of the story of 911, and they don't even know the buildings fell down. You know, what was it Winston Churchill just said? The greatest argument against democracy is a five-minute conversation with the average voter. You know, this is one of the great problems with preaching the kingdom. Not only do people have all kinds of preconceived notions based on the apostate churches that have come up, you know, the authoritarian churches that exercise authority one over the other, absolutely, you know, to the point of murdering thousands and millions of people. But even now, today, in your Baptist, Methodist, whatever, Lutheran, I don't want to pick in any particular denomination, you're supposed to sit in the pew, shut up, and listen to your pastor as if he is the authority over your life. He's supposed to be leading you to serve one another, bringing you and setting the captive free. Instead, they're delivering you into bondage. Let's turn around. Let's repent. Let's seek the kingdom of heaven. And until then, may there be peace upon your house. But don't count on it. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.